WSHU, the station you know, trust, and count on, is more relevant than ever. I'm Brad Dancer, the general manager here at WSHU. Your support makes it possible for us to deliver what you need, exactly when you need it, wherever you are. With your help, we tell the stories that matter, connecting the facts and uncovering the truths that keep you informed. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
You're listening to WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. More than half of Connecticut's federal delegation is skipping out on the president's State of the Union tonight. All the snow we got this winter has put quite a strain on our region's road salt supply. Plus, a long-lost whale song resurfaces. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garon. President Trump will deliver his State of the Union address to a joint session of Congress tonight. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports more than half of Connecticut's federal delegation won't be there.
Senator Chris Murphy and Representatives John Larson and Jim Himes will skip the speech. Instead, they'll attend a counter rally on the National Mall. Representative Johanna Hayes is skipping, too. Representative Joe Courtney is going with Lee Burdett Williams, who saw major health care cost increases this year when the Affordable Care Act premiums weren't extended.
Everybody's got to make their own decision about what they're going to do in this evening. But again, I think, you know, having real-life Americans who can, in very explicit, concrete terms, rebut the notion that this administration is fixing affordability, I think is critically important.
Senator Richard Blumenthal is going and bringing Nicole Russo, the CEO of Microboard Processing. Representative Rosa DeLauro will attend with her husband. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Governor Hochul will not take public matching funds as she runs for a second term leading New York. The New York Public News Network's Jimmy Vilkind reports.
Hochul is sitting on a $20 million re-election war chest. The Democratic incumbent's campaign says it has no need to participate in a public financing system, a decision that could save taxpayers more than $3 million of matching funds. Watchdog groups say the program is designed to get big money out of politics. Blair Horner is with the New York Public Interest Research Group.
I view it as a serious setback to public financing in New York.
Republican candidate Bruce Blakeman says Hochul's decision is hypocritical because Democrats pushed for the matching program. Now Blakeman says she's relying on special interest money. Blakeman has signed up for public funds, but hasn't yet qualified. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vilkind for the New York Public News Network.
Connecticut prides itself on weathering winter, but two massive storms and lots of ice and snow in between have finally put a strain on the state's supply of road salt. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
The State Department of Transportation says they have enough road salt to keep the ice off the state highways, but they often also give some to cities and towns, too. And DOT spokesperson Josh Morgan says they have to hold off for now so they can make sure state highways are clear.
What we have done is connected towns and cities with various vendors so they can have those touch points if they need to buy more material. Us ourselves as the state have purchased more material halfway through the winter, just given how many storms there have been.
Also, Morton Salt, the same company that might make the salt on your spice rack, told some Connecticut cities and towns they'll have to wait until next week to get their salt shipments. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Nearly a century of ocean listening and one haunting whale song is finally heard again. That story is coming up.
Your favorite WSHU shows are always within reach with the WSHU app. Stream news, music, and podcasts anytime. Check playlists with a tap and take us wherever you go. Got something to share? Send us feedback right in the app. Download the WSHU app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Six LIRR trains are returning to service with added delays due to the weather this weekend. The MTA says delays were to prioritize the safety of passengers and employees as they worked to clear the tracks. They also say they're working to restore any other shutdown branches throughout today if conditions continue to improve. The city of Bridgeport is planning to sell Bassac High School to a New York housing developer that owns several other properties in Bridgeport. They propose to buy the school for $6 million. A Long Island social worker has been sentenced to over 7 years in federal prison for the distribution of child pornography. Prosecutors say the woman distributed sexually explicit content of minors by posing as a father who claimed to sexually abuse his children. According to court filings, she pleaded guilty last June and was possibly facing a max sentence of 20 years. Bridgeport officials say many residents had refused to move their cars for the street parking ban this weekend. They also reported that almost 120 vehicles were towed before the storm, 40 fewer than the amount the city towed for the storm in late January. The state of Connecticut has a bridge to sell you. In fact, you can have it for free. But as WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports, there's a catch. You'd have to move it yourself.
State transportation officials say the Saugatuck Swing Bridge in Westport has numerous structural and other problems. It needs to be fixed or replaced. The bridge was originally built in 1884, and it's on the National Register of Historic Places. The Department of Transportation says they're interested in hearing from anyone who would be willing and able to move the bridge somewhere else and reuse it. The agency is studying the cost of rehab versus replacement, along with the difficulty of moving traffic during rehab. A DOT report says it wouldn't be practical to leave the bridge in place and build a new bridge, and the old bridge still needs to be repaired. A public hearing on the environmental impacts is set to take place in Westport next month. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Scientists at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution have been documenting the oceans since 1930, and after nearly a century, their archives are home to many treasures, like the newly discovered oldest known recording of a whale. The New England News Collaborative's Amy Kolb-Noyes reports.
Imagine it's 1949, and you're on board the research vessel Atlantis off the coast of Bermuda. The steel-hulled sailboat has two masts and measures over 140 feet. It's the first ship built specifically for interdisciplinary marine research. Your mission? To better understand how sound travels through the ocean. Other boats in your small fleet are dropping munitions and various objects into the water, generally making an underwater racket. Your job is to submerge a waterproofed microphone and record the sounds it picks up. First, you dictate a few facts for the record.
Side 1 of record 12. Date 7th March, 1949. The time, 12:15.
Then, imagine your surprise when your mic picks up this. That is the song of a humpback whale. But you have no way of knowing that, so you do your best to label the recordings with something identifiable. Fast forward to the fall of 2025. Hui archivist Ashley Jester is working on digitizing early audio recordings housed in long stacks of drawers and shelves in temperature-controlled vaults. Some are reel-to-reel recordings, and other are early magnetic cassette tapes. Both are deteriorating with age. There are also transparent blue discs, like floppy versions of albums you'd spin on a record player, bigger than a 45, but smaller than an LP. These were recorded using an office dictation machine called a gray autograph, and they're holding up better, so there's been less pressure to digitize them.
We have focused on digitizing the materials that are most at risk. I think the reason that the autographs kind of flew under the radar, so to speak, for so long was because they weren't a risky format. And so there wasn't any urgency to getting them digitized.
But looking through the archives recently, descriptions of the contents of autograph discs, written on their paper sleeves like album liner notes, caught Jester's eye.
It said things like fish noises and whoop whoop fish. And that made me think there was probably something interesting on that recording, but we didn't know what it was.
Jester had a hunch this could be a significant discovery. She understood that the scientists on board the Atlantis didn't know what made the sounds they had captured. Fortunately for Jester, she has easy access to people like Hui's Leila Sayegh, an expert on marine mammal vocalizations. Her verdict?
Definitely a humpback whale. They're very distinctive. So luckily that was not too difficult to identify. They're one of only a couple of species that make very kind of lengthy and complex songs.
Even in its early years, Hui was a leader in marine mammal bioacoustic recordings. But Jester says grabbing the earliest known recording of a humpback whale was somewhat by chance.
1949, after World War II, the U.S. Navy had figured out that sonar was really important, but we still didn't know a lot about how sound traveled underwater, the physics of it, how it was impacted by depth and salinity and temperature. And so they were out doing basic research about how sound propagated underwater.
Making those recordings was no easy task.
The hydrophone was connected to a transducer, an inverter that allowed it to process its signal both to a machine that recorded the sonar output and then also allowed it to write to the gray autograph.
Sayegh says, given all that, the recording is remarkably good.
It's pretty great. I mean, it's really identifiable. What, you know, the sounds are pretty clear and analyzable for sure. I was amazed.
For Sayegh, a senior research specialist, the 1949 recordings are still providing an opportunity to investigate.
It shows what the soundscape was like, you know, a long time ago and could potentially be compared to recordings in the same area today to get a sense of how much background noise has increased.
That's important because we know that human-made sounds impact ocean species, but we're still learning how and to what extent. Jester says those types of opportunities are what the archives are all about.
These discs allow us to travel back in time. When I talk to people about data collection and the importance of maintaining and preserving data, it's because you can't go back to March 7th, 1949 and re-record what happened that day.
But thanks to a yet-to-be-identified member of Atlantis Cruise 154, that moment in time is right at our fingertips. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Amy Kolb-Noyes.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. Our winter fundraiser is about building a foundation for another great year of work, and we typically interrupt programs for 10 days to reach our goal, but this year we're cutting it down to 5 so you can enjoy more local news and music. Thanks to a generous match from WSHU's Beacon Society, your gift will be automatically doubled today. It's time to donate. Visit WSHU.org, and thank you so much for your support. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.